Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the sudden drop in President Obama's approval rating to an all-time low that is apparently due to the high price of gas. The nation's leading expert on oil and gas markets, Fidel Geit, joins us to explain how Wall Street speculation accounts for 30% of the price at the pump. He is a senior vice president for oil and gas at Oppenheimer & Company and has testified many times to the Senate and the House of Representatives about oil price speculation. Then joining us in the studio is Sean Parnell, the author of Outlaw Platoon, Heroes, Renegades, Infidels, and the Brotherhood of War in Afghanistan. He served with the 10th Mountain Division for 6 years and retired as a captain, having served on the Pakistani-Afghan border, where his platoon suffered the highest casualty rate since Gettysburg, with over 80% casualties. We'll get a soldier's perspective on the war in Afghanistan, which, following the recent massacre of civilians, may end sooner with an accelerated U.S. withdrawal. Then finally, we'll speak with Elizabeth Holtzman, the youngest woman ever elected to the U.S. Congress. She is the co-author of Cheating Justice, How Bush and Cheney Attacked the Rule of Law, Plotted to Avoid Prosecution, and What We Can Do About It. We will discuss why we can't move on and how the failure to take action against a former president who has committed crimes stands as an indictment of the society that permits the impunity. And joining us now is Fidel Geit, who's a senior vice president for oil and gas research with Oppenheimer & Company in New York City. Mr. Geit has a degree in chemical engineering and more than 30 years of experience in oil and gas research. He's previously been with Mobil Oil and J.P. Morgan Company in New York, and he's one of the most quoted analysts on energy issues and has testified before the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives about oil price speculation. Welcome to Background Briefing, Fidel Geit.
Thank you.
And what explains the high price of gasoline, particularly as now a CBS poll has revealed that the president's approval ratings dropped precipitously from over 50% down to 41%, apparently because of the perception that he should be doing something about the price of oil?
Well, it's so unfortunate that we penalize this president or any other president for the price of gas. President have no magic wand that bring down crude oil prices. And the reason I say that, because the price that we pay at the pump, 75% or more, is directly related to crude oil prices. So if we want to see gasoline prices at the pump lower, we should hope for lower, much lower oil prices. But again, it's a commodity that the price is set by global events. We have very little to do with oil prices. We can do our part, but we do not account for a significant volume of production. We are the largest consumer of oil in the world, but unfortunately, we import half of what we consume. So therefore, we have to pay what the going rate in the marketplace. And the going rate in the marketplace suggests that oil prices at the pump are really not as expensive as many people think, since people in Europe and in Asia, in Japan, pay a lot more than what we pay here.
But my understanding is, and I believe OPEC has verified this, that global demand is down, local demand is down, supply is up, the U.S. is exporting more gasoline than ever. So there's got to be another explanation for
we all know that speculation is part and parcel of the commodity price, especially of oil prices. I do believe that oil prices are inflated by at least 30%. I don't think that the global economy can sustain or can justify the current oil prices. And for people to understand, the global commodity is really not our benchmark price. Our benchmark price is $6 right now, but the global commodity index is 126, which is Brent crude. So the product is priced on the global index, which is Brent, which is $126 per barrel. So right off the bat, more than 75% of what we pay at the pump is directly correlated to Brent crude oil price. So speculation is here to stay because the financial lobby is very strong, much more powerful than any administration, whether Republican or Democrat. And unless or until the federal government clamp down on speculation, we will be paying higher than we should at the pump. And unfortunately, we can't blame the president. We just blame dysfunctional Washington for not being able to come to an agreement that excessive speculation is not in our best interest.
Again, I'm speaking with Fidel Guite, Senior Vice President for Oil and Gas Research with Oppenheimer & Company. He's also previously been with Mobil Oil and J.P. Morgan Chase and is one of the most quoted analysts on energy issues and has testified before the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives about oil price speculation. But what about the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission? That is their job, to oversee speculation. And my understanding that they were paralyzed for a long time because of Commissioner Dunn, appointed by the Bush administration, although he's supposedly a Democrat. He's now, I believe, lobbying for the lobby of speculators, if you will. They apparently sued the CTFC, who was trying to bring about position limits. If you have a market where, my understanding is, between 80 and 90% of the future contracts are being bought by hedge funds and pension funds, etc., and not by end users like oil refineries and airlines, isn't that completely distorting the whole intention of the commodities market?
Absolutely. But again, this is some of the recommendation that I suggested to Congress, and that was 4 years ago. And I was not the only one, and I was not the first, and I'm not going to be the last. Everybody can see it, and everybody knows it. But the question is, can we fix it? And unless there is a will, unless the public would rally behind the administration and push for reform, nothing is going to get done. And the same people that brought about the 2008 financial meltdown and bailouts that cost taxpayers billions of dollars, they are doing the same thing again. And the public cannot do anything about it because the politician holding the key. Nothing the CFTC can do without approval of Congress. They can suggest as much as they want, they can do whatever they want, but at the end of the day, the financial lobby is too strong to pass any limitation on these people. They make billions of dollars. Unfortunately, the money they make is coming out of my pocket and your pocket and everybody who buys gasoline in this country, subsidizing these people who make millions or billions every year in profit at the expense of the taxpayer.
Well, what then explains, Fidel Guite, why does the press not report what we're talking about? Why do they keep referring to these ridiculous excuses like OPEC and a possible war with Iran and every other thing about, except what's really driving up the price of oil?
Absolutely. I truly believe that putting a position limit will immediately take gasoline prices at least by 20%.
Well, apart from Senator Bernie Sanders, I don't see anybody even talking about it. You know, that's the surprising part. It's like the 900-pound gorilla sitting in the living room.
Well, it's unfortunate because I don't know what else do we need to prove the point and how many financial meltdown and collapse can the economy, go through without very dramatic changes in the way we do business. Financial institutions are still getting away with a lot. And until or unless limits are imposed by Congress, I don't think this is going to get us anywhere.
Well, it's not as if we haven't seen this movie before, Fidel Guite. Remember back in 2008 when oil was at $147 a barrel, CBS did a report an investigation. They found that most of the oil wasn't owned by Exxon or Mobil or all the big companies, but in fact it was owned by J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs.
Exactly. Actually, the top 10 financial institutions that are involved in the trading of the commodity account for about 80% of the volume. The commercial customer, the real companies that use oil to make for goods and service and everything else, account for the remaining 20%. Exxon has very little to do. Exxon does not hedge at all. Other companies hedge, but not at a significantly higher than what they produce. But the financial institution, they do not use the commodity. It's paper chase. It's basically an electronic screen that are moving markets up and down. And this market, in my view, or this activity should be stopped. And part of me wish that gas prices will hit an all-time high, so people finally wake up and say enough is enough, and push that their congressman would vote, for legislation that will limit or eliminate this financial dealing by the commodity traders. So unless or until that happens, I don't think we'll see any meaningful change.
But my understanding, Fidel Guide, is that they make money as it goes up, and that's why it's being driven up all the time. But at some point or other, it crashes, doesn't it? That happened back in 2008.
Unfortunately, again, what we've seen, these financial institutions are willing to take huge risk, and then they're too big to fail because the government will always come and bail them out, because basically they are holding government hostages. Look what happened in Europe, look what happened in the U.S., and unfortunately the taxpayer is footing this bill. So the financial institutions are only good in making profit and doling out very fat bonuses, but when things really go out of control, they go and cry to their government to bail them out, because they say if you don't, the whole economy will collapse. So this is like a suicide bombing, if you will, and taking everybody with them. So this has to change, and I don't know what other financial collapse we need in order for us finally to recognize that the days of excesses are over and we really have to change things for good.
So Fidel Guide, again, Senior Vice President for Oil and Gas Research with Oppenheimer & Company, and previously was with Mobil Oil and J.P. Morgan Company, and you testified on a number of occasions to the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives about oil price speculation. The conversation we're having, I wish the president would have this conversation with the American people. Do you think it would be effective if he did?
Absolutely. I think he should educate the American public. Unfortunately, the American people are listening to politicians that are totally irresponsible. They make an outrageous statement. Newt Gingrich is saying that if you vote for him, he will bring gas prices to $2.50. I can tell you, I've been in this business 30 years, and I could not think of how can he possibly do that unless he brings oil prices down by $60 or $70. And obviously, that can only happen in one scenario. If you have a global depression, then oil prices can go as low as Newt Gingrich one. But $2.50 when you have $100+ oil, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I suppose in a way it's too convenient to be able to blame it all on OPEC and the Saudis and others, right?
OPEC has nothing to do with it, and the Saudis have nothing to do with it. The markets are set by several forces. One of them, one of them, unfortunately, is financial speculation. And financial speculation, started 10 or 15 years ago, but now it is really driving the market. In the past, it used to be trailing, now it is leading by far. It's not OPEC anymore. It is not the oil companies anymore. It is basically financial speculators, and these people are in control of this market and have been for quite a long time. And unfortunately, it's not going to change unless we have legislation to really, really clip their wings and make them as what they should do, facilitate trade, not to be part of the trade, not to have equity position, not to commingle with your clients' money like we have the debacle, the $1.5 billion debacle that the trading IMF Global whatever went through, disappearing $1.5 billion. And again, nothing is going to happen. You know, no criminal, no smoking gun, nothing. We've been in this movie before. We've heard it before. And again, we didn't learn from the lesson, and that will repeat itself. And we're going to have more and more and more of these cases.
Well, of course, MF Global, the head of that, was the former head of Goldman Sachs. I guess that's the they're the princes, right? The princes of Wall Street.
Yeah, I mean, these people, they pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fine without admitting any guilt. I want to see who would want to do that. Why would I pay so hundreds of millions of dollars if I did nothing wrong? So obviously, we know what it's all about. One can rob a bank and then pay a small penalty, but keep on robbing the bank. And as long as they can get away with it, they will do it over and over again. So financial speculation is not healthy for this country. It's not good for consumer. It's not good for anybody. It only helps one group of people, the less than 1%. These are the guys who are benefiting significantly from basically gouging consumer, basically for inflating prices. And as long as I said, as long as they are getting away with it, they are not going to stop. They are not going to feel sorry for doing what they are doing. They think it's they're smart. They think it's legal. Obviously the government allowed them to do that for the lack of ability to curtail their activity.
Well, as you said, Fidel Guide, the Congress could force the CTFC to bring in position limits and to make the market about what it should be to hedge and protect the real customers for oil, which are the oil refineries and the bulk buyers like the airline companies. But as we know, the Congress is in the hands at this moment of a very pro-Wall Street clique led by Eric Cantor, who's promised the speculators that if they take over in the Senate, they'll be able to make even more money.
But at the end of the day, obviously it is easy to use misinformation in a presidential election year, but really the Republican are really not addressing the issues, and it's like mudslinging contest. But nobody really has any solution for anything. You know, if they can't find any answer, they blame the president or blame somebody else. But they really do not have any plan or agenda, or just faulting what's happening without finding a solution for it. So, but I'd be very curious to see, you know, what the Republican challengers have in terms of solution to the high gasoline prices, and want them to explain how you're going to get. I want to know how Newt Gingrich can get us to buy gasoline at $2.50 instead of $4.50. I would love to hear that.
Well, Fidel Guide, I thank you so much for filling our audience in on what's really behind the high price of gasoline. It's refreshing to hear and very infuriating that the rest of the press don't want to tell the public about what's really happening.
And we haven't even started the summer driving season yet. And with the nice weather we have, I can guarantee you the gas prices have one way to go, and that's up.
Again, I thank you for joining us, Fidel Guide.
Bye-bye.
Again, I mean, speaking with Fidel Guide, who's the Senior Vice President for Oil and Gas Research with Oppenheimer & Company in New York. Mr. Guide, who has a degree in chemical engineering, has more than 30 years of experience in oil and gas research. He has previously been with Mobil Oil and J.P. Morgan Company in New York. He's one of the most quoted analysts on energy issues and has testified before the United States Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives about oil price speculation. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a veteran of the Afghan War.
Fill up my truck on the way to work. Those gas prices. prices really hurt. It's like feeding the hungry beast with liquid gold. One day I'll look up and there'll be $10 a gallon staring back at me. You know the price of gas is getting out of control. Put $100 in my tank. I'm a working man, don't own a bank.